Christian greetings. Again this morning, as we continue our worship, we have been richly fed. Appreciate the message very much. And I would feel we could just go home and feast on that and to meditate and to evaluate and to search our own hearts. And that's what we need to do when we hear the Word of God exposed and explained and preached upon, is to take it inward. You know, sometimes we think in our human nature that, well, that sure fits him or that sure fits her. And I hope they're listening well. But God wants us to be a child of his, saints of his. Appreciated those thoughts as well. You know, at the end of time, God will gather all his saints together. And I trust that every one of us can look forward to that, experience that in our daily walk of life, and to be faithful to him. As I was meditating on what to share, my mind goes to a favorite subject of mine, that's the home and the church. And we heard various of those aspects. Recently, I was sitting with a young father from another state, and he was trying to find his way and giving counsel to a young girl in her response to a young man that had asked her for companionship. The troubling thing to him was, I don't think that man has leadership qualities. Well, we're not all the same, are we? And he went on to explain, and I was listening. And finally I said, what you're telling me is evidently this young man has grown up in a home where mom is the leader. He said, you're right. And his relationship with his father is frazzled. That's what he said. And so it went on from there. Try to give a few guidelines, but we all are human enough. Whether young men, young girls, fathers, mothers, children, wherever we find ourselves in life, God calls us to evaluate and to seek his will and way in our walk of life. I've simply addressed it as our title I have is Godly Fathers. Now, scripture has much to say. Again, our brother already shared with us what the word does, and it does that. And we can find guidelines, and we can find our way in life. And so certainly this morning it's a, I don't know your homes at all, really. I've met some of you here and there, and Tim used to live in our home, so I know him quite well, probably the best of any of you here. But that's not the important focus, what we know or don't know. The truth of the matter is that we're all human enough that we need help with each other along the way of life. And was I a perfect father? Absolutely not. None of us are. We're human. We meet obstacles. We meet challenges in life. We meet things that we hardly know what to do or what to make out of it in life. And we're living in a day and age where God, I believe, is still asking fathers to take personal responsibility in their home, in their walk of life. And that also applies to godly mothers. But I believe that a godly father is the one that sets the tone in the home. Granted, not every father is the same. And we need to be open to that. But I believe that God is looking to fathers to take their personal responsibility as he wants them to take it, and to be accountable for what happens in the home. When God came to Adam and Eve after the fall, Adam and Eve had sinned. They partook of the fruit that God had said, don't touch it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. And they did die spiritually. But when God came and approached them, he addressed Adam. Adam, where are you? What are you doing? And it wasn't that God couldn't find Adam, and it wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. But it was simply an address to Adam to face his responsibility of what he had done. Adam, where are you? And so this morning, where are we as godly fathers? The scripture says that in 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. We are fathers by virtue of children, being married and have children. Years ago, there was a young father that told me this. He was struggling in his home, and we tried to work with him, and he finally one day told me, he says, I hate being a father. I don't want that responsibility. He enjoyed being married, but he didn't want to be a father and take on that responsibility. So it's best to think beforehand a little bit. But God is telling us in the Word that he wants us to be godly fathers. Turn me to Ephesians 6. I'd like to read several verses there. At the onset, we know these verses well. Ephesians 6, verse the first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where are the men, the real men, who are truly concerned about being faithful fathers to the next generation? When homes fail, we can often turn to the father and wonder what has happened or what has gone wrong or what has he done or not done in the home. Many times it's when children fail, it's because of delinquent or careless fathers and not taking their personal responsibility before God and being accountable to God for how they raise their children and how they conduct their walk of life. The old saying that more is caught than taught is still true today. It's like the young man that said, Dad said everything right, and he tried to get us to do walk right, but Dad didn't walk that way. He lived a separate life from what his teaching was. And that can happen. God help us. That doesn't happen in our homes. And so this morning I'd like to point us as fathers especially, and godly mothers, to Bible truth and look at the encouragement that God gives to fathers when they face the challenges in their fathering. Fathering, I believe, is soul-searching and sometimes heart-wrenching when we're in the thick of it, in the middle of it, so to speak, because sometimes it exposes my deficiencies in the home. You know, when my child does something or acts in a certain way, it brings up a deficiency in my own life. And I begin to see that. And it helps us to dig deeper and to evaluate what am I doing or what am I not doing that I should be doing. And I believe many times it's simply to come back and humbly beseech the Father, to beseech God to help us, to work in my life and in the life of the children to the saving of souls. And I believe when God speaks to us through his word, it is divine authority. It is God's will that we experience and see the blessing of godly homes. And I trust you're experiencing that. Again, like I said, I don't really know your homes, so I don't know what goes on or what doesn't go on. But God is speaking to us to make homes to have something to say about our walk of life. God instituted the home, back in the beginning when he created man and woman. He said that they're to be fruitful and to multiply, to have families. That was God's intent. And I realize that some don't have that privilege, but through adoption, and that's all right as well. But in the home, morals are taught and morals are caught as children evaluate father and mother. Here, morals and values are shaped. Here, disciplines are learned in the home. Lives are forged. Lives of children that go on and on and begin to homes of their own. There are some youth, young men, young women, that don't want to go into marriage because of their home life they came from. They have that as an example of what marriage and home life is like. But thankfully, there are many more that have enjoyed their home life, their parental home. So what is it that makes fathering so serious? It is because the way that we as men, as we lead out and as we walk, it's going to have a direct effect upon those who come after. It will leave an impact upon their lives. And the struggles they may face or not face will be because of what they have seen and what they have experienced in the home. And so I believe that's why God addresses us fathers primarily. And we have responsibilities that we cannot evade. There are duties that we must answer to. You know, the high priest Eli, the Bible refers to him, and he learned the hard way at the cost of terrible tragedy, not only for himself, but also for the sons he failed. The Bible says he restrained them not. I picture Eli as a father that tried to reason with his sons and said, "Boys, you shouldn't act that way." But he didn't restrain them. And so discipline comes into focus as fathers. It's more than simply saying, "Well, don't do this, and you can do this or that." But it also requires discipline, especially as a younger child, as they're growing and learning the issues of life. It's a little bit like, for natural illustration, it's a little bit like you have a coffee table, and your parents know what it is when a two-year-old wants to grab everything off the coffee table. What do you do with that? Well, we've been in homes where they said, "Okay, the children want to play. Let's move everything off the coffee table and put it up on the shelf somewhere so they don't touch it." I believe you can teach children to leave things right there and not touch it. But it takes discipline. I remember it well. My wife was very intent on that she will not move things off the coffee table. Children can learn. And I remember well that when they come to that stage and they get up there, then there was discipline when they touched it. And so they back off and they look at you and they look at the object and they're evaluating. So the second try is made. Again, the hurt is worse than the blessing of touching it and taking it. Soon they learn that's where it belongs and that's where it stays. Children amazingly can be taught many things at a very young age. By saying that, it wasn't always perfect, but children can learn. So it's more than just talking. I do remember a father that his thrust was that just talk to the child, and I even heard him trying to reason with a two-year-old what they should do and not do. Well, it didn't quite work out the way he intended, I don't think. They need to learn through faithful discipline and godly discipline and loving discipline, not with harshness, but with faithfulness and with consistency. Here in these verses that we read, it addresses fathers. These first verses, are they the sole commandments to obey and honor the responsibility? Is that solely for children? Or does God expect that our children get help along the way of life? Hey, certainly they do. And I believe that's why God immediately follows with the command to fathers. Fathers are to help their children by bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the child will not obey and honor unless someone helps them to honor and respect. And as a child learns that at home, they learn to honor and respect others when they're in other homes. And that duty is assigned to fathers here in this scripture. And I believe it's God's way. This command is God's way of telling our children, you may expect it's safe to follow your father. And as men, as fathers, a child should learn that. That it's safe to follow us. And if they want life to go well for them, they will listen to father. Even after I was gone from home, you know, it's amazing how much you reflect back to fatherly advice along the way in growing up years. We reflect on that. That becomes a help to us. And so fathers, if you're in the young stages of fatherhood, the blessings will return someday. You may think, well, we're in the thick of the battle and we can discipline or we can do this or that, and it just seems it doesn't avail much. But it does. Little here, little there, again, again, and again. It's not done in a day. We should be as fathers, the songwriter says, I will be true, for there are those that trust me. And I believe that's a reason that God says, one reason that God says, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't betray their trust in us. Much will be our future happiness or heartbreak by how we took our responsibility today, not tomorrow. Today is the day to be trustworthy. Today is the day to consistently lead that child in the right way to go. Just like Noah of old, who feared and obeyed God and raised a godly family. But it was over and over again that God addressed Noah, and not his wife, even though she's a helpmeet in that. But fathers are to take personal responsibility for the welfare of the family. So may we take that seriously. A child looks at their father at a certain stage, especially a younger stage, that he knows everything. And rightly so. That in his eyes, he's representing, in that stage even, he's already representing God to the child, which he later will reflect upon. So as the father is representing that, he's exercising his authority, the child begins to learn and understand of what God is like. There have been many youth that have struggled with that over the years, many that I've talked to, have a poor concept of God. They see God as a harsh God. They see God as a God that's just ready to, has a stick over their head. Like when one youth told me one day, I see God as having a big stick. And as soon as I do wrong, whop, over my head. I said, you must have had a harsh father. She said, yes, I did. A child learns their concept of God through their earthly father. So it's a challenge to us to represent God in a godly way to the children. And like I said, that children's tendency is to look up to their father and their mother. It's something that's built into them. That's how they reflect. So fathers, don't betray that trust in your child. And that may seem like overwhelming in a sense. How can mortal man, how can earthly man attain to that which God expects of us? How can we do enough or right way to raise a godly family? Well, the truth of the fact is that no man can. That's why we need God's help. That's why we need to come back to him continually. As Brother Marvin mentioned, come back to the Word. Search him, his ways. We're not wise enough. We're not strong enough to raise our children by ourselves. We need each other. I remember well, at the beginning of our married life, many years ago, of going to our elderly bishop and just sit down with him and, you know, do you have some guidelines for children? Do you have some things that we ought to evaluate and look at? And so we need each other along the way of life. But most of all, we need God to help us and to direct us through his word. There is hope. Don't ever throw up your hands and think, well, it's all lost. It's all, can't do anything anyway. Can't do it good enough. God is there to help us. God is there to guide us through his word as we faithfully look to him. Turn me now to Psalm 127. I'd like to notice a few things here in this psalm that ought to inspire us as godly fathers. Psalm 127. Beautiful verses here. Verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Here is a great truth. Anyone who is not a Christian father ought to fear to be a father. He can labor early, late, and still fail. But if we allow the Lord to build our house, to build our home, we can trust him for help. And so we'll find rest in the midst of this great work. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They are his. He has loaned them to us to teach and to train for a time. Ezekiel says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And so they are God's children. We do not own our own children. They're simply entrusted to us. We are stewards of them. We are accountable to bring them back to God. And also means that God will supply whatever we need to take care of his children that he has entrusted to us. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I suppose that a lot of us, when we were younger, young boys, young girls, mostly boys probably, we tried our hand at making arrows. You know, we had old baler twine when I was young to make our bow and take sticks and try to make arrows that would shoot straight. Well, we soon learned the time to make a well-balanced arrow, a true flying arrow, is before we shoot it. You know, if you take a crooked stick and try to shoot it somewhere and hit a target, you won't hit it. It goes here, it goes there. And also the time to aim an arrow is when you pull back on the string. And so you pull back and you take careful aim because you want to hit something. It's not after the arrow's gone that you make sure. Now we can. The illustration is not perfect because often you can run after an arrow and improve it and shoot again more carefully. But we can only raise children one time. Only one time. Are we careful in perfecting that child the best that we can by the help of God, to shoot that arrow straight. What is our destination? What is our goal? Is it to get all the earthly wealth? The child will learn that if that's our goal. Or is it to direct that child towards a heavenly goal, that which is before them? We want that child to go straight as much as we can. We're human, and we're frail, and we fail at times. But we try the best that we can to shoot that child, that arrow, straight. You know, children are born. Soon they are school age. All the time, in a parallel, we are shooting that arrow in a path that we want them to go. And then soon they are school age, and then they are teenagers. And before long, they're gone. I marvel over and over again how quickly a child grows and is gone. Here I am, 78 years old. Now we have great-grandchildren coming, and we thank the Lord for that. But it tells us that the time is short to shoot those arrows in a path, in a direction we want them to go. If we are careless with those arrows, the children, if we are negligent, or we are delinquent, hoping they'll just grow out of it someday, they'll get better someday when they become a man or a woman, we can't take that approach. Because if we do, they will reject later our concern and help much more quickly than if they realize that we tried our best while they were growing up. And fathers, it's not a sissy to go back and say, "I'm sorry" to your child. There have been failures. You know, we had to go back and say, "I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't discipline right. Maybe I was angry, or whatever the case may be, or I was wrong. Maybe I didn't have the right child, or thought it was this child that did it wrong, but it was another one." Ever face that? We're human. We face that. We don't always know. But you know what? When you apologize for whatever reason, the bond is strengthened. The child knows all of a sudden there is hope. I can trust my dad. He's human, but I can trust him. The Bible says that arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. I don't believe that's saying that we fathers are mighty. But the Word of God is mighty. It is strong. Rather, it means that our children are like arrows that fly very far, shot by a mighty force with the power of God. They go forth. It may be by some personal accomplishments. It may be also through great suffering. We don't know how that will be. But we know one thing. Those arrows fly into eternity. Someday, every child that came into my home will be somewhere in eternity. Where will they be? It is sobering. We need to consider our ways. They will either inhabit heaven or hell. There's another angle to consider with arrows, and that is that sometimes there are crosswinds. We can do the best, fathers and mothers. We can do the best, but sometimes there are crosswinds that take that arrow off course. I have sometimes wondered what went wrong. When I see a child going astray, what went wrong? I don't know. We don't always know. Sometimes there are crosswinds. Sometimes those are influences. Sometimes there are other things that hinder them in going in the right course. There could be headwinds. They come up against something, they don't know what to do. There could be many things that veers that arrow off course. I'm using the arrow as a child that takes them off course. It could be the cares of this life that hinders them. But on the other hand, there's also tailwinds. And those that shoot arrows know what that is. If you shoot into the wind, or if the wind is blowing a certain way and you realize that could veer off a little bit, there's also tailwinds that help and accelerate. And so the child that meets encouragement along the way, that's a tailwind. It helps them to go straight and right and in right path. They go on in life. And then later, fathers, it is a blessing when you see and hear from the children that have grown up and have their children. I remember one day talking on the phone with my son, and he said, "You know, Dad, there's a lot of things I didn't understand, but now I do. I've got children now. I need that." That influence goes on. The number of possible descendants will increase at a staggering rate. And the way that we turn the generation today, fathers, will have an impact tomorrow. What it will be like. Verse 5 of this chapter says, "Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I see another potential here for fathers. First, they will not be ashamed because of an upright, honorable life. And secondly, they will speak with the enemy in the gate. Flirting or compromising with the enemy? No. Standing true, standing faithful, because of that influence which came from the godly home. They will be there to help guard and to defend the walk with God. It's encouraging, fathers, when your child stands shoulder to shoulder with you and feels the same way, to live a godly life. We want them to demonstrate the virtue of Christianity in their daily walk of life. That's what our goal is. Far more than what we can achieve in the financial world. It's far more than that. Even though God blesses us many times in financial things, but that's not the ultimate goal. It's to raise sons and daughters for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that every godly father wants salvation for his child, to be a part of a living body, but sometimes there are roadblocks. Like I mentioned already, that makes it hard for the child. Every child needs to know that they are just as important as their sibling to their father or mother. Partiality just doesn't work. I remember years ago speaking with his sister. She was probably in her 50s, not married. And she said she still struggles with the aspect of a father that didn't treat her like her sibling. She said, "When I was growing up, Dad would say, 'Well, if you just do like your sister so-and-so, it'd be acceptable. It was always your sister's better. She does things better.' That comparison," and she had to live with that the rest of her life. Partiality between children is wrong. It is true that it is easy because this certain child does just what I want them to do, and the other one is just the opposite. Parents know there's differences in children. But it's a challenge to treat them equally and to give to them what is needed. Understand them, even though they may have unacceptable ways at times. I know it's easy to think, when we go to a friend's house or wherever it may be, Well, my child just doesn't act that way at home. You ever heard that? Makes me wonder. Maybe they don't. But we need to understand that. And some have unacceptable ways. Some have ways that we'd rather not see. But on the other hand, children are so trusting to godly parents. They are so trusting. They come into this world helpless, dependent, and innocent. And they're going to believe at first anything that anyone tells them. Remind me of the father that set his child up and says, "Jump into my arms." Well, the child was trusting. Jumped into, supposedly, in daddy's arms, and he pulled back, fell to the floor, and hurt them. Father said, "That's to teach you that a lot of things in life aren't fair. Don't trust anyone." Do you think that child grew up trusting a dad? No. We need to be honest and trusting as a parent. And so it's important that we are the right kind of guide in their life, leading innocent souls astray. I believe is one of the most serious offenses against God that a parent can commit. A guide doesn't just show you the way, but tells you the way and goes with you in the way. I remember I had a dad that didn't just tell us how to do things, but he showed us how, first of all, and that stuck. He showed us the way. You know, if you go on a hunting trip, men, and you have a guide, do you have a guide that tells you, "Well, go over to this way and take this trail and that trail," and doesn't go with you? What kind of a guide is that? You want them to go with you and show you. And so it is with parenting. What a child sees impresses him much more than what he is told. And today we have that guide, God Himself, through His Word, that tells us and shows us the way. He built into us a conscience that can tell us right from wrong in many aspects of life. That's the God that we serve, and that's how God expects us as earthly fathers, godly fathers, to be. And how tragic it is and how sad it is when fathers give trusting children wrong concepts of life. Be a faithful guide to your child in all areas of life. Sometimes we'll hear about the troublesome twos and the teenagers that are hard to raise. But with God's help, it's not that difficult. As we trust Him and rely upon Him, even if you may not have an answer for that teenager, take him to the Word. Seek out that answer together. Reminds me of our son when he was in seventh grade. He had a teacher that never taught algebra, never learned algebra. He says to this day, that was the best year he ever had and the best teacher he ever had. Because she learned it, she told him one day, she said, "Michael, we're going to learn algebra together. I'm to teach it, but we're going to learn it together." And they did. That's how it is with children, with fathers and mothers. Show them the way. Do it together. Fathering is giving of myself to my child. It's not merely setting up a standard and seeing to it that everyone lives by it. But fathering is giving of ourselves, working through those things with them, and teaching them along the way of life. When they sense that, that brings tremendous encouragement to their walk of life. So this morning, may God bless godly fathers and godly mothers, godly homes. Live for God. Keep God first in your walk of life, and you will have the proper perspective in the great work of fathering. Shall we kneel for prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, thanking you for your word. Thanking you, dear Lord, for thy guidance in our walk of life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the precious blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary, to give to us that power, that indwelling presence of thee, to counteract the evils and the temptations of life. Help us, dear Lord, in our godly homes to be the homes that bring forth children for your praise and for your glory, that we're raising an oncoming generation that will continue to go on and on into eternity. Bless these homes this morning. Bless this congregation. Give them guidance. Give them direction. As they face the issues of life, help them, Lord, to rely upon you, thou who art eternal and thou who hast all the answers to the troublesome things of life. Bless and undertake for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.